God's grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you would open up your worship bulletins until you see this page. If you open up this page, you will see that there is a sermon outline. So if you have a pen or pencil, you can follow along by filling in the blanks. Also on the back, you'll see the Old Testament from the lectionary from Ruth chapter 1. These words from Ruth chapter 1. Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I too am old and have no husband. If you would say, I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till I grow old? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. We pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, there is a lot to consider in this verse. There's a lot to consider in her thoughts. Lord God, we thank you that they are printed for our benefit. Allow us to grow this morning. In your son's name we pray. Amen. So this morning we're going to talk a little bit about Naomi. And we're going to get a little bit into the text. And so Naomi, her family was living in the time of the Judges. And if you know anything about the time of the Judges, it was a little bit of a roller coaster. A lot of times when they followed God, they had abundant crops. No one invaded them. And you see that things were great. And then what happens is they turn away from God, and God gives them over to an invading army. And all of a sudden, you see the entire nation plundered. And so Naomi lives at a time in which they were being invaded. The crops weren't good. And so their family had a choice to make. And the choice they made was to abandon their inheritance, their land. And so they went east beyond the Dead Sea. And there they had a family tragedy. You see, a couple of things happened. Number one, Naomi's husband died. That was the first thing. And she had two sons. Two sons had married foreign women, but unfortunately, the sons also died. So we look at this and we see that Naomi loses the man in which he can provide for her, and then she loses the two sons, which at that time... In that time, the inheritance, the money, ran through the males. And so she lost her source of income, the way in which she was to support herself. And so she wonders, okay, do I really have a future? Do I really have a future, or is my future empty? And so she inquires, and she wants to know from the Lord, what am I supposed to do? And so she said, well, I'll just go back to my origin, go back to my inheritance, go back to my family. And we see here that she does go back later in the text. She has two daughter-in-laws. She said to them, just go. Just go. Just leave me. Because Naomi had turned inward. Her thoughts had turned inward. Because she lost her greatest source of income, and because she lost what she considered her future. She says in the text, I've become bitter. And so maybe sometimes things happen in life, and it's just... Sometimes it just feels that not just one thing happens that you wonder why this is. Sometimes they're just compounded, and you wonder, how are you supposed to get through that day? How are you supposed to get through that year? Because things have just been happening that have gotten worse and worse and worse. So it sometimes feels like if we can't change our circumstances change us. And that's what happens with Naomi. Naomi, so many things bad have happened. She just wonders, God, are you doing this to me? And so she becomes agitated with what God is doing. And so she tells both her daughter-in-laws, you might want to get away from me because bad things happen to me. And so therefore, if you want anything good in your future, you just might want to separate yourself. And of course, there's one that doesn't. Her name is Ruth, and it's a beautiful story. But this morning, we're talking about this idea that bitterness can sometimes develop even in us today because we feel like we can't change our circumstances, and therefore, life doesn't seem fair almost. And we always have this idea of, God, what are you doing? What are you doing here? What are you doing in the world? On 9/11, did you see the images coming from New York and say, well, God is great? No, we saw the tragedy. We saw the horror with our own eyes, and it's played over and over and over again in our minds. We wonder, God, are you just going to keep away from this? Is this real? Is this what's happening in our world? And we see over and over in the world today, it's tragedy after tragedy after tragedy, and you wonder sometimes, where is God? Because we all still have questions. We still have questions. And sometimes we don't feel like they're answered right away, and so we just, God, are you there? How about you plug in? And so our minds become centered around us, kind of like Naomi. We become these people that, God, if you're really in heaven, you might want to do what I think you should do. If you're really God, how about thinking about us? But the only thing I can really think of today is, the earth is spinning in our solar system, and it's such that just a little bitty tilt, one way too much or too little, if we get a little bit off track, this planet, we freeze or we burn up. God has the earth spinning in such a manner in which it revolves around the sun so much so that it's a perfect place for humans to thrive. And I see at night the stars, and they're in perfect alignment, declaring the word of the Lord. And so I said, okay, if God has everything fixed in such a manner in which he's telling me, he has the power to control complete galaxies, what does that mean for me today? Because I'm really wondering, where are you, God? And yet God wants us to think outside ourselves. That even though we think that, God, if you're really there, you would do things like I would have you do. God is saying, wait a minute. I am sovereign. God is sovereign. God still reigns from his throne. He still has legions and legions of angels worshiping him. Because God alone knows what's going to happen. He's already printed for Satan to read that he loses. And God wants us to trust him, even though that is difficult in the circumstances that we go through. And so we see the things that are happening. We ask, God, why? But maybe like Naomi, maybe the idea is, maybe it'll work out. Maybe I'm not seeing things that God would have for me. And so I ask you today, this morning, is this the end? Is this the end? Is this all that God has for you today? When you were born, you came in with what? When you die, you will leave with what? What does God owe us? It's a difficult concept. It's a difficult concept. But the idea here in my mind is this. If we could see what heaven looks like in its full manner, would we really want to say, you know what, we really wonder what's going to happen here? Because if we could truly see for ourselves what is going to happen in heaven, we would say this really doesn't matter. This is just temporary in the eternity that we're going to spend in heaven. And so I wanted this morning to search the scriptures and find out, well, what have people of old have said about God? Have we been aligned? And I need your help this morning, if you would. I need your help here in declaring here. Can we read this together? I am worn out from my groaning. All night long I flood my bed with weeping. I drench my couch with tears. My eyes grow weak with sorrow. They fail because of all my foes. Does this sound like someone you know? You can't point to your wife. Does this sound like someone you know? Don't point to your dad either. Does this sound like someone like you and me? This is in Scripture. This is in Scripture. This is someone declaring to God, you're not fair in His holy word. What about this? Can you read this one for me? How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Does it sound like the writer is having a great day? This guy is miserable. This guy is saying, okay, God, have you forgotten? I'm down here. Hello? Well, let me ask this. What kind of a God allows this type of word to go into Holy Scripture? What kind of a God allows someone to write this about Him? You ever thought about that? You ever thought about the idea that the writers in the Bible are allowed to complain to God? That He's big enough to handle all their questions? Amazing. Look, read this one. Look on me and answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes rejoice when I fall. Hey, God, my enemies are at my doorstep. You might want to help right now because I don't know how much longer I have. And so here we see the book of the Psalms. That people like you and me who are going through life and just wondering, how long is this going to last? And it's laid out in the music of this entire book. And it's interesting that God answers. God answers. Let me see if I can get this one. To you, Lord, I call. You are my rock. Do not turn a deaf ear to me. For if you remain silent, I'll be like those who go down to the pit. Hear my cry for mercy as I call to you for help, as I lift up my hands toward your most holy place. You see, it's interesting that what was written hundreds of years before that was true both then and when the writer looks forward to another thing. I wonder if we can. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. Did you guys catch that? Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's Jesus on the cross, knowing that he has to be forsaken by God the Father so that the Father could send him ultimately to hell. So he could declare to Satan face to face, you're done, you're through. That you can affect the ways of man, but you will not have any power over them. Death may come to them, but I'm going to triumph. Guess what? I'm leaving here. I'm rising from the dead. And there's nothing you can do about it. And I'm going to declare it to all mankind and give him my word that you lose. And when I come on the third day, what are you going to do about it? And Satan says, "Why? Well, I'm still going to pick on man. I'm still going to twist your words. I'm still going to pick on them by affecting their children with disease. I'm still going to pick on them because I'm still going to affect their family life." And yet Scripture says that this ultimately is Jesus who cries out. He cries out in a place like that because he knows if he does not, we are lost. And so our words, our questions, our crying out to God are heard because in Jesus Christ, he came to earth to give us a new life. So even though we tend to look at this life as there are so many things that are happening that we wish we could do something different, God says, this is temporary. Eternal life is forever. And he has come to give us hope that is not found in something that wears away. This body right here will ultimately wear out. Every year I feel more and more. I'm wondering how much longer can I take? I just passed my 40s. You probably have that same thing, right? I have a faith in Jesus Christ that no matter what happens to me, he'll take care of my family. I have a faith in Jesus Christ that no matter what happens to this body, I'll find new life in him. And I don't have to wonder or worry what's going to happen because I don't live here. I don't live here. This is just temporary. I got a place waiting for me up heaven that's going to far outweigh what I have here. And if God is still sovereign, which I believe he is, things must happen in this world in order for things to come into to greatness that will lead to Jesus' return. You remember Naomi, in which she says she's become bitter? Well, through Ruth, she has children. And you read what her great-great-great-grandchild wrote, David, the king of Israel, who wrote about Jesus Christ, who was his heir. And isn't it weird that Naomi, who had become bitter later in life, Jesus Christ comes out of that. Say, Naomi couldn't see that at that time, that the Savior of the world would come from her lineage. Folks, Jesus Christ has come for us. Come to give us a brighter future that no matter the question you have for him, he is big enough to answer anyone. And even though we sometimes doubt what God is doing, he is still reigning on the throne. So we see that God is still in control. He is still in control. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, Lord God, there's not a day that goes by that we don't have questions about what's happening. Lord God, we thank you that You allow us to complain. You allow us to question. Lord God, there is no God like you who allows this to happen. So we thank you that you will go with us no matter what. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.